What is up, my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month, the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, or anything between. This is the show where we talk about the highlights of pro wrestling in any particular month. I am Omar, the same host that sees that the podcast has 6 viewers instead of 3, which means I'm probably going to run that joke into the ground for many, many months to come. So, yeah, so before we get into the show, let's get into the housekeeping, shall we? Because I know most people don't like the housekeeping stuff, me promoting certain, but you know, you got to let the podcast grow. You know, you want some, you know, you want that podcast to grow. And you want people to know where you are in multiple social media platforms, which is exactly what I'm going to do. Oh my God, this podcast is already the worst. But hit that 5 stars if you stutter way too much like I do. So yeah, before we get into the show, let's get into the housekeeping out of the way. So follow me on Twitter at @IMWithTheplayerGuy. Follow me and all the social media platforms at Best Things While Pro Wrestling this month, where I post 2 short clips of the most interesting aspects of the podcast every single week. So Wednesday and Thursday, so twice a week. So yeah, and then hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to boost the podcast into the algorithm. And so far we've had like a few ratings on the Apple chart so far. So I want to hit that. I want to hit that five-star ratings. And if not, you know, it is what it is. If your goal doesn't hit this year, then it's always going to move to next year. So, you know, there's always a next year. So, yeah. Yeah, so out of the housekeeping out of the way, let's just talk about the honorable mentions. Because here's the thing. The month of May in professional wrestling honestly ruled. I thought it was better than April, which is wild. Because April was WrestleMania weekend. It started off with WrestleMania weekend. And then it drifted away. And then built the momentum from there. Not really, because like the month of April also had like the Raw after WrestleMania 39, which fucking sucked in my opinion. But also the fact that, it was just the month of April as well. I also thought the build for Double or Nothing was actually okay at best, which we will be talking about the aspects of Double or Nothing on the main show. But yeah, let's just, you know, like I said, May was great. I mean, Backlash, the crowd was amazing. By the way, speaking of Backlash, I saw a tweet where somebody was like, you know, we should go more international shows and less on like, we should go more onto international shows and less on Corpus Christi, Texas and Hershey, Pennsylvania, which I thought was hilarious. I'm like, who the fuck wants to go watch a pay-per-view with a crowd that is pretty much joyless on a bumfuck city in America, where they can just go to, you know, Puerto Rico, for example, and have the time of their life. Like here's the thing about Backlash, this year's Backlash. They went crazy over Savio Vega. Savio Vega, you have to be a wrestling fan to know who Savio Vega is. And they went crazy for Carlito too, which I've always said, you know, especially that mid to late 2000s, you had guys like John Morrison, MVP, and Carlito. You know, Chris Masters, those guys should have been world champions because those guys were great. Like that crop of talent between the mid to late 2000s, Mr. Kennedy, obviously, those were great talent that should have been world champions, in my opinion. But if you count John Morrison winning the ECW world championship, but honestly, do you honestly count that? Because by that point, ECW was basically pre-NXT with only one championship and that's it. So it's like, do you really count? I don't know. That's just me. When I think of all, I think of the heavyweight title back then and the WWE championship. So, I mean, do you really count ECW as the championship at that time? No. So, but yeah, let's just get into the honorable mention, shall we? So let's talk about, so speaking of Backlash 2023, that is one of my honorable mentions. So Backlash 2023 is probably the best thing about pro wrestling in the month of May. And the reason why, it wasn't just because the show was good, but also the crowd went crazy. Loved the crowd. They were probably the best wrestling crowd ever. I would even say they're better than the UK crowd and the quote-unquote smart crowd between New York and Chicago. I think they're great. In my opinion, you know, it's just that crowd is, I would say A-tier, not even A-tier, S-tier, S-tier level of crowd. If you're ranking crowds around the world in professional wrestling, they're up there with the UK crowd. They have competition. And I think that was probably the best thing about pro wrestling no pun intended, is the Backlash 2023, and that was because of the crowd itself. Also, the show was good. And speaking of the show, I even enjoyed Night of Champions 2023. I enjoyed the hell out of that show. That show surprised so much because I feel like the Saudi shows have always been kind of mid, with the exception of Crown Jewel 2021. I thought that show was great too, but they've always been glorified house shows for the most part. But I feel like these past year and a half or so, they've made the Saudi shows into like the main show. They wanted to progress those shows into a story, into the storylines onto Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, rather than just make them into glorified house shows, which in my opinion is the right decision because stories always come first. Before the match, I've always said this, I mean, I've always believed in this, that is, story always comes first. Speaking of story and good storylines and good shows, that's a great segue to talk about one thing that I've noticed this past year. WWE had a very good 2023, and it got me thinking, is WWE on their takeover mode? In my opinion, because every single show that I've watched so far this year have all been good. All of them. Royal Rumble, decent show. Elimination Chamber, great show. WrestleMania, Night 1, eh. Night 2, Night 1, great in my opinion. Night 2, eh. Backlash, great. Night of Champions, very good. So it got me thinking like, yo, they're on their takeover mode in my opinion. NXT takeover. Now, obviously, I'm not saying they're in that same caliber. What I'm trying to say is that they're slowly climbing up to that ranking because I feel like those shows have been, so far, 2023 has been WWE's year. And they've not had a good year, in my opinion, since quite some time because we have definitely seen some duds like 2018 WWE, 2019 WWE, 2015 WWE. Oh my God. Especially late 2018. My goodness, they were bad. Worst things about television I've ever seen in like years, and that includes like scripted television. That would make the Game of Thrones finale look like the greatest thing of all time because those WWE shows in 2018 was bad. But to be fair, why am I comparing great Game of Thrones to WWE in 2018 when I have not even seen Game of Thrones yet? But I'm just making that joke because everybody hated the season finale in my, what I've seen. So, but yeah, I do think they're slowly climbing up to be in their takeover more. And we'll see what happens with Money in the Bank because Money in the Bank should be shaping up to be a very good show with a very good crowd. Speaking of good crowds in the UK, in Wembley Stadium in the Oibrovland. Honorable mention number two goes for. Hit that 5 stars if your English is not working. English, are you okay? My second honorable mention of the month is Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley, which is the steel cage match at the May 10th episode of AEW Dynamite. This is the match where we saw the eventual heel, Vince Russo-esque heel turn from Don Callis after the match. And I thought that match was great in and of itself, but the fact that Don Callis was like, hey, Kenny Omega, by the way, go fuck yourself. And he basically turned the man heel. Not only that, but we saw on Double or Nothing a few weeks later where we saw one of the Japanese sensations himself. He also turned heel as well. And he and Don Callis, if you've seen this week's episode of Dynamite, you would know that they had some heel heat. God damn, they had like Dominic Mysterio would be jealous with the amount of heel heat Don Callis got. God damn, this guy is the villain. And all I'm saying is, look, I know it's impossible, but can we get the Golden Lovers back? Can we get Kota Ibushi? Look, Tony, I know you're probably never going to listen to this, but come on, sign my man. You're a billionaire, right? You got money. Sign my man some check. Give him some contract because I know Kota Ibushi. I know he doesn't, he doesn't like to be signed with a company because he wants to do, he's doing what a professional, what an independent contractor should be doing, independent contractor should be doing. So yeah, I'm just saying, Tony, sign my man Kota Ibushi. Get the Golden Lovers back, you know? Golden Lovers versus Don Callis' team, you know, at Blood and Guts or any other show. That would be great. I mean, come on, yo, can you imagine Golden Lovers versus Don Callis' team, whatever he picks with? Oh, that would be fire, just fire, 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 fire emoji. just straight fire. Fire emoji right now. So yeah, great match, great twist. You know, I know it was a Vince Russo-esque out of nowhere heel turn, but it was a heel turn that kind of made sense. That kind of made sense when Don Callis explained it. So yeah, that is my second honorable mention of the month of May. Third honorable mention is, speaking of Double or Nothing and the aftermath of Don Callis's role in Double or Nothing, is FTR versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal for the AEW Tag Team titles. That was by far my favorite match of the night. And it's probably the worst. And I've thought about this, and I want to say this again, but Double or Nothing has been like the worst show. If you're Jeff Jarrett, or if you're fans of Jeff Jarrett, shout out to you, JJ, if you're listening to this. I really appreciate that. But yeah, not a good night for the Jarrett family and the Jarrett crew, because FDR just won those tag team titles. But I will say, Jeff Jarrett, at his age, he can still move. He can still go in the ring. And Jay Lethal, he was great too. I mean, god damn it, like FTR, I mean, obviously, look, FTR, other than the New Day, they're probably my favorite tag team of all time. And they've made me really love and appreciate tag team wrestling, them and the New Day. So the fact that they're just, you know, having the run of their lives is just amazing. And the fact that they're back being the AEW tag team titles, the world tag team titles, is just amazing. So yeah, great match. If you, by far my favorite match of the night, favorite match of that night. So yeah, I loved it. It was a great, great match. Speaking of Double or Nothing, another honorable mention is Konosuke's heel turn at Double or Nothing 2023. Now, here's the thing. When I first saw that heel turn at Double or Nothing, I thought, I was like, I don't know, like, I don't like it. I didn't love it. I was like intrigued. I was like, I thought he would be a good babyface. But then we saw, like I said earlier, that turn when he was speaking in Japanese. I'm like, yo, he does not need to speak English. That dude can just speak raw Japanese, just talking mad shit. And he got the heel heat of his life. And I'm like, okay, I see the vision. I didn't see the vision at first, but then I was happily that I was patient. I was very curious. I was intrigued, but I wasn't for it. And I saw it, and it was great. Loved that. That was probably the highlight of that show. Yo, this dude is star. And it's wild too, because one of my most popular videos, at least on the YouTube side of my YouTube shorts, at Best Things While Pro Wrestling this month, please subscribe, we're on 60 subs. So we're reaching 60 subs, so hit that subscribe button. Yeah, his heel turn is one of my most popular videos from that channel was him, was talking about him and how he's going to be the AEW title. And it was one of my most popular videos, which I was actually surprised by. And based on my metrics, I can tell, like, people are very interested in him. People want to see his development. People want to see him, you know, with that title soon. I don't think it's going to happen within this year, maybe next year. I think an MJF Eddie Kingston feud would be fire, in my opinion. So, but yeah, I think that heel turn is great after watching that AEW Dynamite. And keep in mind, I put this in honorable mention because I didn't watch that episode yet. Because by the time the episode hit, it was like around early May. So I was like, I don't know if I should put it. I don't know if that counts. But yeah, now if I could put on the main show, on the main three highlights in the month of May, I could. But yeah, for now, still, was very intrigued. Didn't like it. Didn't love it. I was like intrigued, but then I saw that episode with him speaking raw Japanese. It's just great. I saw the vision, so it is what it is. I saw the sign, to quote Ace of Base. The final honorable mention of the month of May is an underrated one, in my opinion, and that was NXT Battleground. Speaking of takeover-esque shows that I was talking a little bit earlier, goddamn, the show was good. I've really enjoyed that show a lot. I enjoyed the tag team title match. I enjoyed the especially the opening match. Joey Gacy, you know, Joey Gacy, Tyler Bate, that North American title match. I thought Tyler Bate was going to get the title, or at least Joey Gacy. I thought he was going to get the title, but they're literally banking on him. I'm forgetting the names. I don't know why. Like, I apologize for that. I'm just terrible with names, and it sucks. I sound like a casual viewer, but I'm not. clearly, because I'm talking about NXT Battleground. So yeah, the show was great. NXT TakeOver-esque. I was not expecting much because their shows haven't been as good as of late, but I feel like this one kind of stepped it up big time, and it made me kind of want to watch NXT on a daily basis again instead of seeing the highlights on YouTube. So yeah, great, great show. If you want to watch some good wrestling and you're bored and you want to watch some good 2.5-hour-esque wrestling show, just then give NXT Battleground 2023 a shot, because I think that show will be worth your time, in my opinion. So yeah, those are the honorable mentions for the month of May. And here, and to introduce my guest, he is Sam Mitchell. He runs an organization called Autism Rocks, where he talks about navigating his life as an autistic person. And I think that is an awesome cause that he's talking about. And I think he's a great guy. He has a podcast called Autism Rocks, and one of his guests was Mick Foley. So, and that was a great, great episode that he had. So yeah, here it is, me talking about the best things about pro wrestling in the month of May with the man himself, Sam Mitchell. My next guest at this time is a dude who has an organization and a podcast called Autism Rocks, where he gets his life from an autistic person's perspective. Not only he has a podcast called Autism Rocks, where he talks about where he navigates his life as an autistic person, also is a huge, huge wrestling fan. And his name is Sam Mitchell. Sam, how's it going?
Hey, bro. Good to be here. Thanks for inviting me, my friend.
I mean, it's great, appreciate it, because you contacted me and it wasn't the other way around like I usually do. So it's greatly appreciate it. Like, it's wild that, you know, when I say I have like 6 viewers, I am not playing. Like, I literally have nobody. So when one of the 6 viewers happens to be yourself, makes me smile, makes me happy. Like, somebody's listening, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm lucky too, man. I mean, I got 15,000 downloads and I was just expecting a few hits down the road, but well, I know I grew in bigger and stronger than I ever expected.
Yep. So let's talk about some wrestling, since you're a huge, huge wrestling fan. Let's talk about the month of May. How do you feel about wrestling the month of May? Do you think it's better than April? Because in my opinion, it kind of is. So what do you think? Is it good, bad, in between? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pro time, but May was pretty good, but there was one little problem I had with the Night of Champions pay-per-view. The problem I had was the pay-per-view was great, but not all the championships were defended. It didn't follow the pay-per-view message. That message is every championship needs to be defended. I don't care what defend it. Follow the
message. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but I mean, in my opinion, you should also include NXT titles too. You know what I mean? But that would be like a 7-hour show. It'd be like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like WrestleMania, but only night one. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're going to have NXT be involved, you got to focus on your main stars of the NXT, maybe. Have the NXT championship be defended. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. But yeah, anyways, so let's just talk about some of the highlights in the month of May. So give me your highlights, because you talked about the negative aspect, which is the championship not being defended. So what was the highlight of wrestling the month of May? Did you like the wrestling? Did you like some of the character development with the bloodline stuff? Like, what was the thing, the one highlight that you have in the month of May?
The bloodline drama.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, I think, with the, you know, when you look at that feud right now, it's escalating with the Usos and specifically Jimmy betraying Roman Reigns, and the fact that they're like that show, not that championship, but like that storyline didn't need Roman to be the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. So what do you think? Do you agree with me on this? Because the storyline doesn't need the title, which kind of forces the fact that Cody should win.
I mean, it doesn't. But I could see why they would think that, management would think that, because they need a reason to be together. And Roman Reigns having the championship with the bloodline being the ultimate power source and the intimidator makes kind of sense. But maybe you didn't need it to function with the storyline. You could have added more suspense to it without the drama. Mm-hmm. But you need the drama at the same time. So it really didn't matter with the championship. I think the storyline would have worked either way. It just had to make logically sense. And this is one of the few storylines that makes logically sense. I mean, I've had wrestlers on my show like Mick Foley, Al Snow, RVT, and Victoria, who I agree with her on. They're more focusing on the wrestling instead of the storyline, but the bloodline bringing that back a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is the best thing, no pun intended, about pro wrestling, not in this month, but like of this year and the past few years, in my opinion, ever since Roman Reigns became champion. What it feels like 6 months ago, but it's actually been almost 3 years ago, so... Yeah, we're all feeling old. He won that title when nobody was in the arena, so in Orlando. So There you go. But yeah, let's talk about one of the things I liked about pro wrestling the month of May. The first of which is, do you watch Impact Wrestling, Sam?
No, I just do WWE because I feel bad if I betrayed it almost, because I saved my life. That was the brand that saved me. So I'm very loyal to the WWE because of it's helped me throughout my childhood.
I mean, same here. But one of the things that I liked about wrestling in the month of May was an Impact Wrestling related thing. And specifically, it was the debut of the formerly known in WWE as Naomi, who I've been a big fan of hers for like years now. So the fact that now she's debuting in Impact Wrestling, and she made her debut in Under Siege, the pay-per-view, I think she's doing great things in Impact Wrestling. I think she's doing wonderful things. Her being in literally one of the best women's division ever in Impact Wrestling history, with Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo, I think she's going to do wonders. And honestly, I would love to see her on Stardom. You know, I don't watch Stardom, but I think she's going to make me watch Stardom. Her and Mercedes Money, aka Sasha Banks, for those of you who don't know. I mean, the one person that just watches WWE like Sam Mitchell himself. So let me ask you this, Sam, since you don't watch Impact Wrestling, and I'm going to assume you haven't seen Naomi, aka Trinity Fatu's debut, right? I'm going to assume.
Right. You're 100% correct. I've seen it, articles on it, but I didn't watch the video.
I'm curious. So how do you feel about Naomi as a performer? Let's just change the question a bit. Do you think like her being outside of WWE would like kind of enhance her career? I mean, the great example of that was Cody Rhodes. I mean, he wasn't WWE like towards the end of his career. He was like Stardust and nobody really cared about him. And now he came back as like, oh, big, big main event kind of star. So how do you feel about Naomi just going outside of the WWE umbrella just to kind of enhance her career, take her career and her Stardom to the next level? No pun intended, of course.
Yeah. Well, that's what people need to do sometimes. I think with wrestling, you can easily get lost in the shuffle. I've seen it happen where you're big for a while and then you're on the middle ground and then you're on the lower ground. But as Razor Ramon, the bad guy, said, rest in peace, he basically said, you need to be on top. If you're in this business, if you're not, you're in the wrong business. So the way to be on top sometimes, because your character's dying and your wrestling style is kind of changing, is you need to go to a different brand. Because what I've heard from other brands is New Japan, Impact, they're all people who still make new stars, but they're also career rejuvenated wrestling brands.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Sometimes you got to be on top, you got to stay on top. You know what I mean? So I feel you on that. And I think Naomi's going to do wonderful, wonderful things in Impact Wrestling. And all I can say is her match with Deonna Purrazzo. I mean, a great example is Deonna Purrazzo. She was in WWE for a little bit, and she was like kind of there. And now she went to Impact Wrestling. Look at her. She's one of the best things, no pun intended, in the Impact Wrestling. She's one of the best female performers, not only in North America, but like worldwide, in my opinion. Like, she is up there. She's that good. And that's an example. A WWE person, now in Impact, killing it right now. So there you go. So
yeah, I will say another May highlight we can bring in, maybe if you want to, is I'm excited to see that Dark Side of the Ring, Vice's new show, well, not new show, but Vice's show is coming back for another season. I was very thrilled about that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about that too. I want to see what kind of things they want to expose this time, because that Plane Ride from Hell episode was, yeah. I mean, I've already heard the story anyways, but this was like, they gave the visual context and like certain things happening. I was like, yo, you know, that's when people started, you know, hating on Ric Flair, which I mean, I agree. I mean, fuck that guy. But it's like, it's one of those things where like people just wonder, it's like, yo, Ric Flair is not a very good person. Okay. So let's move on to something positive. And that is, second best thing about pro wrestling in the month of May is, speaking of Night of Champions, is the opening match between Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. I thought that match was fantastic. One of the best matches of the year. And him winning the World Heavyweight title, which apparently doesn't continue the old lineage. It's going to have a brand new lineage, similar to the WWE Cruiserweight Championship back in 2016. It didn't continue the first Cruiserweight title in 2007. It didn't continue that. So I guess they're keeping that momentum. They're keeping that trajectory forward when it comes to just introducing a new championship based on an old title, but it's a completely new title. So yeah, how do you feel about Seth Rollins winning basically a secondary title, basically a super intercontinental title, as some people would say?
Well, I think what they should have done is had Roman somehow keep the Universal, and then the next guy beat him, but Paul Heyman, being the businessman, is like, what really happened is, and then he gets the other belt. I think that's what should have happened, in my opinion, not make new belts. I mean, why make something new when you can already use something that already exists? Why are we working harder and not smart? I'm not a firm believer in that in a lot of cases, but this is one of the rare cases that I do.
I mean, I'm all for bringing Big Goldie back, but this ain't it, in my opinion. And you have made more sense and made more contextual aspect of why the title, why the WWE Championship should be split up more than like the creative team, in my opinion, which is wild because they have like an army of writers too. I mean, speaking of the creative team, apparently based on that lawsuit a few months. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, that was dumb. But yeah, at least the match was good. You know, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, that was a good match. You know, so that was one of the highlights, I guess. We'll see what happens. I do think Seth Rollins is going to be feuding with Omos, but that's just me though. Homo sapiens, let's freaking go, boys. Let's go to the top. All the Omos fans up there. And what I mean by fans, I mean like three people. So, by the way, the same amount of people that listens to my show is the same amount of people that are fans of Omos, which is not a lot.
I like the guy, but he's too much of a... He reminds me too much of trying to bring back the Great Khali 2.0. That's what I think of him.
Yeah. I mean, he is basically the Nigerian giant, but he's also the Nigerian Great Khali, you know, speaking Nigerian giant, whatever. That was a terrible pun. Anyways, let's move on to the third and final thing that we liked about pro wrestling in the month of May is Backlash, WWE Backlash 2023, specifically Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. Now, here's the thing. They had a great tag team match with The Miz and Morrison, like, 2 years ago at this point, which is wild because it feels like that match happened like 3 months ago. But the fact that they feuded together and the crowd went crazy, like I said a little bit early in the intro, and the fact that they went crazy for Savio Vega of all people, which is wild. Like, you have to be, like I said earlier, you have to be a wrestling fan to know who Savio Vega is. But anyways, they went crazy for him. They went crazy for Carlito. So let me ask you this, Sam. Have you seen, I'm going to assume, have you seen the pay-per-view WWE Backlash that happened early?
Busy that day, unfortunately, but I read the articles. I definitely plan on watching it sometime. But I heard that the Puerto Rico fans were basically one of the loudest crowds that night and loud crowds they've ever had.
Oh, yeah. In my opinion, they're better than the UK crowd, or at least they have competition at this point, which is wild because the UK crowd is always fantastic. And the quote-unquote smart fan crowds, you know what I mean? The smart fan crowds in the US, Chicago, New York, you know, those two wrestling. So I'm going to assume, based on your reaction, let's just change the question a little bit since you haven't seen Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. How do you feel about Bad Bunny as a performer? Because in my opinion, I think that dude is great. And the fact that this man, by the way, his salary for his WWE was only like 100.
I always have respect for celebrities that come in here and just chine it down and get it to a point. Bad Bunny, Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather, I have tremendous respect for them because some celebrities will go in there and just do what Snoop Dogg did and drop an elbow at WrestleMania 39. No, you can't just do that. You literally learn the bases, learn how to run the ropes. I mean, you got to learn all that. Otherwise, you're going to flop.
Look, here's the thing about Bad Bunny. This dude is one of the most popular figures on Spotify. That dude is a star. But this man was like, look, I'm going to go and dedicate myself to the wrestling business because I'm a fan of him. He's such a fan that he made a song called Booker T. That's how a fan of professional wrestling. That dude loves this business so much that he doesn't mind taking 100. Apparently it was 100K from WWE. He doesn't care. He's the most streamed artist on earth. If you were getting like 3 billion views on Spotify, you're like, why would I do WWE and risk my life? Probably like, you know, like break an ankle, break a leg, like literally break a leg, break an elbow. But now he's like, look, I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to dedicate myself, get in the best shape of my life and wrestle in my home turf in Puerto Rico, San Juan, and just dedicate himself, deliver the greatest Canadian destroyer I've ever seen. This dude loves this business. And honestly, I respect the hell out of him. You can also put Logan Paul up there, but especially Bad Bunny. That is a dude that I tremendously respect. You gotta give him, a dab or two. You know what I mean, Sam?
Yeah, you do got to give him props. You got to give Bad Bunny props for that Canadian Destroyer. I was impressed. I mean, when he hit, I was like, whoa. And then I was very impressed with his moves. Like, he can do that. That's how well he trained, seriously. I was in awe of that match with WrestleMania 37, and I'll probably be in awe of the May match once I see it.
You know, speaking of Canadian Destroyer, you know, with that Canadian Destroyer, he should join Impact Wrestling. I feel like he was 15, 20 years too late. You know what I mean? He should have joined the 2005 X Division with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe with the amount of freaking Canadian Destroyers he used to do back in the day. But it is what it is. Yeah, so that was pretty short because the intro was 15 minutes. This was also around 15 minutes. I thought we would go around like 30. I mean the three big things that happened in the month of May was like AEW Double or Nothing. Have you seen AEW Double or Nothing, by the way? Because I thought the show was decent, in my opinion. Or are you a fan of
I
AEW in
haven't seen
general?
it yet, but I did get to see, not like me, but see MJF. Let me see, was it? So in March of this month, I actually went to a Square Circle Expo and met some wrestlers. I
Okay.
met my buddies, Mick Foley and RVD. We also met Buff Bagwell, Victoria, Gangrel, Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose, as WWE calls him. That's how I've known him. So Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Kevin Nash, let's see, who else did I meet? Kurt Angle, Rikishi, Melina, and Eric Rowan, or Redbeard as they call him now.
Yeah, so you haven't met MJF.
I haven't met Andreas, but I saw him. Like, I visually saw
Yeah,
him.
good. Yeah, good, because, you know, like everybody say, the dude is a piece of shit. I should So anyways, I appreciate you being on the show. The fact that you contacted
I
me
think
to
it's
be
character, though. Yeah,
I
you
know,
need to.
I'm kidding.
Don't
Yeah,
talk
I
about
know, I'm
that.
kidding. Yeah, I mean, I was kidding too, you know,
Oh.
but it is, but for real though. So anyways, I appreciate you being on the show. The fact that you contacted me instead of the other way around, saying that you just found me somewhere and then decided to shoot an email and say, let's talk some wrestling. And you're like, and I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go. I don't get a lot of guests, but anyways, I actually was planning to have somebody else, but you contacted. So I was like, and I saw your Autism Rocks podcast. I checked your episode with Mick Foley. That was pretty good. Also, like, if I'm not mistaken, one of Mick Foley's son is also in the autistic spectrum. So, you know, I feel like that was personal to him that
Correct.
he has to speak to you, to talk about his life and his journey so far. So yeah, appreciate just being on the show. Like, where can people find you other than, you know, your podcast and stuff, Autism Rocks?
Spotify, your favorite media platform. If you think I'm there, I'm probably there. Hey,
Yep.
all you gotta do is search me too. Something will pop up. But don't Google
Yep.
Sam Mitchell, because there's a lot of basketball players named after me, apparently. Not named after me, but named me. So do Autism Rocks and Rolls. That's what I'm kind of associated with.
Yeah, I mean we both I mean we all have names that are equivalent to like a John Smith or something. That's fine. So yeah, let me do my housekeeping out of the way since I didn't do that in the intro. You can follow me on Twitter at Armor the Player Guy. Follow me on the social medias at Best Things About Pro Wrestling this month. The viewership for the short clips have been amazing. I mean, we've hit over 6,000 total views in the month of May alone. My TikTok, by the way, speaking of which, I went semi-viral on TikTok, by the way. 100,000 views for my David Otunga intro video. Insane. I was like, holy crap, 100,000 people. God damn it. Really, I gained a few fans from that show, and one of them is listening to this right now. So appreciate that so much, man. Just stuff like this keeps me motivated. So yeah, at least I'm. You know, based on those clips and how well they do, it goes to show that we're having some interesting conversation. Me, Sam, and all the previous guests that I had. So yeah, just follow me on Twitter. I'm the player guy. Follow me on all the social medias at Best Things About Pro Wrestling this month. Just type on there. And also hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, like Sam has done a little bit earlier. Hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We really, really appreciate it because I want to hit 5 5-star ratings by the end of this year. If it doesn't, like I said earlier, there's always a next year. If your goal doesn't hit this year, there's always a next year. So it is what it is. And I don't know how to end this in outro other than we out.